It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox. Welcome to this episode of Kennedy Saves the World. It's happy hour, and I'm so happy to have Benjamin Hall here. Benjamin, I first met you, I think, in 2014, 2015. I interviewed you when you were going to conflicts all over the world. And, you know, many people obviously have heard what happened to you because of your incredible memoir, Saved, which we have talked about. We've done a couple of podcasts, one specifically about that, the other one about your podcast, which is phenomenal here at foxnewspodcast.com. But now Saved is in paperback.
It is. It's out there. Never sure how to sell it, you know, but I mean, it's easy to carry around. The messages are still in there.
The writing is fantastic. The story is almost unbelievable. I mean, still, I go back to your book constantly and I think about some of the things that you've been through. And whenever I feel like I'm going through some sort of adversity, I think about the things that got you through.
You know, this is...
And this is just diet root beer. Don't be afraid of it.
Delicious. I'm going to have a... First of all, can I say what an honor it is to be on your podcast?
I need to give you a stir with the fork.
On this.
Benjamin, stop it right now. Anytime you're in New York, you stop by. And I will make you something delightful to wet your whistle.
All right. Well, cheers.
To you. And never being afraid.
Well, and that's it. Look, this is the paperback comes out this week. That's delicious. Mm-hmm. Paperback comes out this week, but it is also the second anniversary of the attack on Thursday. And I think that's kind of the message is that, look, here we are 2 years on.
Yeah.
Terrible things happen. But you and I are sitting here lifting up a drink, talking together. And I think that the only message you have to send out to people is that no matter how difficult things are, you can always get through them.
Yes.
You know, the last 2 years have been about that for me. And I'm a firm believer now that inside every single person, there is the ability to get up when you have to get up. When you're against the wall, you can find extra strength. And so that makes the world a wonderful place when you realize that we all share that.
Yeah. And I love seeing videos of your girls.
Mm.
And how is everyone adapting? You know, 2 years on, obviously, a lot of the book was written pretty close to the event when you were essentially bombed by Russian drones in Ukraine.
Yeah, and the book was really therapeutic because I was in hospital for almost 8 months, and it's very boring in hospital.
Yeah.
You got to lie in an ICU bed. You can't move. And so writing and putting down my thoughts and remembering what had happened in detail was a real benefit, therapy for me. So that's what I started to do, is to write about it. And that was one big chapter. I got better. I learned how to walk. I got prosthetic legs. Patch me up with skin grafts all over from head to toe.
And hours of physical therapy.
Oh, and that
4-hour sessions.
That continues to this day, to be honest. I'm still doing it. But that was one chapter. And then I got home. And then, as you asked, that was the next chapter. How have they adapted to it? Because injuries like mine, and this goes out to anyone out there, it's not just you who's hurt. It's your family that's hurt.
Yeah.
And so many of the veterans who have been injured like I have gone through something similar. And it's the pressure that it puts on their wife or their children, who suddenly have to do a whole lot that they couldn't do before. So it is big and difficult for them. So you ask how the transition went for me, and I'm very, very lucky. My daughters are currently aged 4, 6, and 8, Honor, Iris, and Hero.
Yeah.
And my biggest worry when I was going home was, how would they be affected?
Yeah.
Would they see me and take a step back and not want to hug me? Which does happen to quite a few people, I've heard. No, they didn't. They've embraced me. They've been so open about realizing that there's some things I can't do, which I used to do. And they've gone through an awful lot, but they've been brave and amazing about it the whole way through. So,
and have you been able to talk to other injured soldiers and veterans? And has that been helpful for you and for them?
Many. It was the most important part of my recovery. I was treated in U.S. military medicine at the Brooke Army Medical Center in Texas and San Antonio, which is a center that dealt with all the injured out of Afghanistan and Iraq. Injuries like mine are worse than mine. And the benefit of being there is you're surrounded by soldiers who have gone through something similar. And within a few days of getting out of Ukraine, they were sending people around me, veterans who had similar injuries, to show me, look at me. This happened to me 2 years ago, and look what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And sending that message of positivity and optimism to people who need it is huge. And if there's one thing I'd like to do now, I reach out and I've been to hospitals and I've spoken to people who are injured like I were, because I want to pass that on.
Yes.
Take one look and realize that it's difficult right now, but you're going to be doing just fine. Just push on through.
And that's amazing, because I'm sure there were times. I mean, I just think about you being transported in a dirty blanket with tubes coming out of you on the train, trying to get out of Ukraine, trying to get to Poland. And, you know, I'm sure there were times where you're like, I don't know that I'm going to survive this. And was it difficult to think of the long term where you are now, or is that what kept you going? Was it really just a minute to minute surviving every second, or was there the long term, like, I'm going to get back, whatever's wrong with me, I'm going to overcome it?
There was one thing, and that is I'm going home to my children, my wife. That was it. So I was on that train, you know, a couple of days till they managed to evacuate me, and I'm very close to dying, a lot of pain, no pain meds. And that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes, I'm going home. I'm going to see my children. And I never thought I was going to die. But I knew I was going to see them again. And as painful as it was, I just kept saying to myself, just keep going.
Yeah.
Just keep going. You're going to see them again. Look, you go through something terrible and it takes away all of the, you know, the things that normally bother in your life, the things that worry you.
They wake you up at night, the worries that wake you up at night that you think are insurmountable.
They disappeared, and it came down to one thing, and it was getting home to see my wife and my children. And boy, was it simple. And boy, did it make life just seem so much easier. And I still feel that today. I actually find that life is easier today because I'm no longer concerned with the nonsense that we worry about.
Yeah.
Concerned about loving my family, being close to my family, helping other people, being part of a community, hard work when you've got to work hard, put all those things together and you're going to have a wonderful, happy life.
Did it make you, I don't know if you're a person of faith, did you become a person of faith? Did it change your faith at all?
I was a person, I grew up as a Catholic, and I was at a Roman Catholic monastery, a Benedictine monastery from the age of 9, living with the monks. And so I was raised a very strict Catholic. And then I kind of lost my way for a bit, you know, because I was covering conflicts around the world. And so I stopped going for a while. But I will tell you that when I was there, the car, we'd been attacked. The car was blown up. My leg was missing. I'm almost dead. And I'm lying there. I thought first of all about my family and getting home. And the next thing I thought about was God. Oh. And I said, please, Lord, help me get home. Help me get home.
Yeah.
And so my journey with religion has been ups and downs, winding. Yeah. I've been so religious and I've walked away from it a bit. And now I'm actually very, I feel quite spiritual. I still pop into church quite often, but I don't necessarily believe such in the established religion as I did. I just believe that there is a God and that we must be close to one another and do everything in the right way. And I'm still on that journey, to be honest.
Well, that's interesting, because it sounds like now it's unmediated. And now you have the courage to have an unmediated relationship with God, which I think is fascinating. And, you know, you talk about people who were overcome with worry, and anxiety and depression have shot through the roof since the pandemic. So what do you tell people? Like, what are some skills that people can incorporate to give themselves a little bit of perspective in their lives? Like, is it meditation? Is it externalizing your worries? What if people haven't been through what you've gone through, and very, very few people have and live to tell about it, what can they do in their lives to cope and overcome and get to this? Like, it really is a blessing to be able to let go of all that and just feel the stoke for life and like the pure love you have for your family.
Yeah. And I think it's slightly different depending on who you're talking to. We've got to find something in everyone that they absolutely love and they feel a reward in doing so. And that comes from hard work, for example. You have a dream and you go and you try and achieve it. But it doesn't mean you have to, you don't look at the end goal. You can sometimes look at the small things. So, you know, I speak to a lot of people who are anxious or depressed. And sometimes I say the first thing is just to stand up, to walk out the door. Go for a little walk around the block, clear your head, look at something that you might think is quite beautiful or gives you, and that could be a beautiful bird, a ray of sunlight. I don't want to sound too strange, but a great piece of music, and realize that no matter how, there are beautiful things out there and you've got to look for them and appreciate them, and pick up the phone and call someone and tell them how you're feeling. You know, I learned that when I was in hospital. I grew up very, you know, sort of English, and I didn't talk about my feelings. I felt I'll just get through it. But actually in hospital, I said to myself early, when I'm having a bad day, I'm feeling tough and it's not feeling bad and it's not going well, I'm going to tell the first person that walks in that door.
Wow. Every
day.
Helpful?
Oh, my goodness. I never realized how just saying some of these things out loud to someone, you know, I'm having a difficult time, or this is really painful, or I'm a bit lost, how am I going to get through this? Wow, you say it one time and it lifts something from you. And you say it a few more times, it lifts something. And I'm a real firm believer that if you're having a difficult time right now, just tell someone, say, hey, you know what? I just want to share with you that I'm finding it quite difficult right now and I'm just looking for a way through. That really helps.
Yeah.
Absolutely helps. And so it's about being together. And it works the other way around. If you know someone who's going through, so you think might be going through something difficult, ask them how they're doing. And if at the first time they say, yeah, fine, ask them again, because they never tell you on the first time.
Yeah.
So it's about community, but it's about setting yourself some goals. And it's about realizing that you don't have to get to that goal immediately. Go step by step, do little things at a time, and they will lead you somewhere good. They always will.
But I think you're absolutely right. Like, people oftentimes sort of exist with this tortured conversation in themselves that they don't externalize, because, you know, either they don't want to burden other people with what they're feeling, or they feel like it's not important enough. And, you know, those things aren't true. So I agree with you. Like, it really is so important, especially like depression, anxiety, and then there's loneliness. Like, a lot of people forget. And, you know, I think it's also a wonderful thing to reach out to people who might be silently suffering, and also like lift them with things that are going well in your life as an example.
Yeah. Loneliness is really difficult. You know, I read a lot about people who suffer from loneliness, and it's so easily solved. It really is. It's just popping around to see them or see how they're going. But I also understand that the longer you go through something, the harder it is to get out.
Yes,
you know,
that's a long, good point.
The longer you don't talk to someone or you stay at home, the harder it is to break through. And so, you know, if it's been a long time, realize that it's never too late. You might feel that you're at the bottom of a hole, but it's never too late. You know, sometimes just one spark can get you up, get you walking, and that one little spark can lead somewhere.
Yeah.
So even if it doesn't sound like it's very much, just do one tiny little thing, one small little thing, and then try something a little bit the day after. You know, when I was learning to walk again, it was always, if I can walk 2 steps today, I'm going to walk 3 steps the day after.
Yeah.
And it's one step. It didn't sound like much, but I always just knew.
It's 50% more.
Well, I was going to do one more thing the next day that I hadn't done that the day of. And that can be as small as, you know, cleaning up one room in your house if it's dirty, but whatever. But small things, just try and improve, try and make things a little bit better.
Do you get that itch to travel and cover stuff in faraway places?
Oh, absolutely. It's one thing that I was bred on, you know, and it's part of my career forever. And very soon after this happened, I was already talking about getting back to Ukraine and reporting and covering it again. And it was a long discussion with my wife about it. But back in November, I was back in Ukraine.
Yes.
And then a few weeks ago, I was back in Israel. And of course, I've had these discussions with my wife, and people think it's crazy that I'm going back. I'm not running around the front lines anymore, but, you know, there's certainly war zones that I've been in. And I think more than anything, I feel very strongly that I was a journalist who was attacked and who they tried to effectively silence, and we were knocked down, and I won't let them silence us.
Good.
I won't let Russia, you know, try and stop the news coming out. And so even it's just me, I felt very strongly about going back and saying, we won't stop. We know what happens in wars. That's what I chose to do. And we won't stop because of the dangers. So I've got that drive, and I plan to keep going back to keep telling these stories, because I think more than ever, I think news is absolutely essential.
Don't go anywhere. More Kennedy Saves the World right after this.
Fox News Radio on demand on the Fox News app. Download the app and just click listen. When you swipe left, you can listen to your favorite Fox News talk shows live. Swipe right for the latest Fox News Radio newscasts on demand. Fox News Radio on the Fox News app. Download it today.
How has it informed your reporting? Obviously, your mobility might be different, but is your reporting different?
It's a really interesting question. Back in Israel a few weeks ago, for the first time, I had a couple of interviews where I really felt the emotion, which I never used to before. I interviewed this one girl, 21. She was kidnapped from the music festival. She was held by Hamas for 54 days. She had a leg blown, a foot basically shot off, couldn't walk. And I interviewed her, and it was the first time in my whole career that I left an interview with a real sense of, just felt like it really hit me, and I felt the emotions and her emotions, which in a way I never did before as a journalist. And so I think I am a better journalist now. I feel that. Before, I was reporting what was happening, but I maybe wasn't being able to convey perhaps what was meant. And it's not for me to do that as a journalist, but I only realized it a few weeks ago when I did that interview. And I interviewed someone who lost their whole family, including kids, the age of my kids. And I felt something I'd never felt as a journalist before. I think life is about learning things. And I've learned something, and I'm grateful for that. But it was interesting. I've never felt that way before. So it's definitely, I actually wonder whether it changed me in a big way. And that was the moment I realized, wow, it has changed me. I would never have felt that way afterwards.
Maybe you would have fought against it.
Out of fear,
you might have fought against.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Instead of realizing that perhaps you can embrace it, realize this, and then grow from it. You know, don't run away from it. Face up to things that might seem hard. Face up to, interviews that are going to be tricky like that.
Yeah, but I mean, how great that you now have a new dimension in what you do, which I'm sure wasn't something that you foresaw when you were going through it. But emerging on the other side and having like not just rationality and not just intuition, but the feeling as well, you know, that raw feeling, because it really makes what you do so much more multidimensional.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer that I've learned a lot and I've come out the other side stronger. You have to, no matter what you go through, learn from it.
Yeah.
Come better from it. And keep moving and just never stop moving.
I've recommended your book to so many people, the audiobook, the hardback, the paperback. Like, people need to read the story. It's so compelling. It's beautifully written. I know you got another book you're working on.
I am. I'm writing out of the moment. It won't come out till next year, but it's, I'm just feeling inspired right now. Not just my story, but about resilience. And I sometimes ask, what is it that allowed me to get through this doing so well and find optimism and other people not to find that? And of all the doctors I've spoken to, you know, they say patients go in two directions. You have half who come out like I've come out of it with this absolute joy for life. And you realize how lucky you are and you never waste another second of your life. And yet the other half who come out of it really badly, who lose their identity, they lose their character. And I've been really trying to find out what makes a difference, who comes out of it with optimism, who doesn't. And you'll have to read the book to find out.
Yes.
But I will tell you the one thing that most of my doctors say, because I'm still figuring it out myself. The one thing that allows most people to come out of it positively are those who are surrounded by a community and a family. That's it. And I was asking, is it the way they do their rehab? Is it their doctors? No. It's those who come from a close-knit family, who have a community around them. They're the ones who come through it well, above everything else.
Well, I can't wait to read your next book. I love your reporting, and I will stay deeply inspired by your story and your family.
Thanks, Kennedy. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. And, we all do it together.
Yeah, it's wonderful to be able to talk to you, because I remember people here were so worried. People who had never met you, they were so incredibly worried because we had so little news. So to be able to sit here and, you know, have a mocktail with glasses with little French bulldogs, it's a blessing.
Yeah, I mean, an aside, but Fox have been amazing. So I'm very lucky that I'm surrounded by people who have helped me. Talk about communities. I work in the best place. I'm surrounded by family who are the best place. Yeah. I've been surrounded by everyone. So, you know, we've all been through it together, and I appreciate everyone at Fox, and I felt the support from everyone at Fox, and that also helped.
That's right, baby. Cheers to that.
Cheers to that.
Benjamin,
what a pleasure.
Hall, saved. Buy it, love it, know it, give it away. Give it to someone. This has been Kennedy Saves the World, along with Benjamin Hall. I'm Kennedy.
Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. Oh, go ahead and leave me a review while you're there. I'd love to hear what you have to say. You've been listening to Kennedy Saves the World on the Fox News Podcast Network.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.